First Peter chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 6 to 9. Verses 6 to 9 in unison. We're reading from the King James Bible. First Peter chapter 1, starting in verse number 6, and we're going to read to the end of verse number 9. And let's read, shall we? Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want you to look at verse number 8 and talk about joy unspeakable. And I'll talk to you this morning about the joy of salvation, the joy of salvation. Dear God, I want to thank you again for salvation. I feel too often times too many of us believers, not just this church, but too often the vast majority of believers take for granted their salvation, and they don't realize what great salvation we have. Dear God, please bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for this church and the folks that have been saved and baptized through the years here. I pray that you bless them. Now, dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts. Bless, I pray, help me to be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 here, whom having not seen, verse number 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. As I said, I want to talk to you about how great a salvation we have and the joy of salvation. Psalm 43, verse number 4, the Bible says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. At salvation, when you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, God gave you the whole package. Gave you the gifts, allowed you to have the Holy Spirit, gave you insight into the Word of God, the ability to read the Word of God, to understand the Word of God, the ability to enter into the throne of grace, to find mercy in time of need. God gave you everything you needed at salvation, and it's available to you. And I'm going to talk to you about the joy that's available that we don't experience and we don't allow God to flood our souls with. It's available. Joy comes with Jesus Christ. And there's other verses, I'm not going to get through all of them this morning, obviously, but the Bible said, Jesus said, no man taketh your joy away. So no man can take your joy away. It's there. It's available. It is us who quench the Spirit of God. It is us who quash the joy of God. It is us who refuse to yield and to allow God to have his way in our lives. And a lot of that has to do with our upbringing. A lot of that has to do with the way we were taught. Our characters are all different. Our backgrounds are all different. Our upbringings are all different. And because of that, some people are more reserved. Some people are more careful. Some people are more are looser. Some people are more open. Every person is different because of their background and how they've been taught. And that, ladies and gentlemen, impacts a lot on your Christian attitude and your mindset of how you allow God to work through you. Some people, they've been beaten down with guilt They think they can never do something right, never do anything for God again. Or they think they're too guilty because of things that they've done in the past. And maybe their culture, or maybe their parents, or maybe their former church or your education, however it was, taught you a mindset that sort of boxes you in to whatever your belief is today. And unfortunately, your background, your upbringing, your former teaching and your education colors your view of Bible Christianity a lot. And a lot of times we have to learn to get out of that box, to get out of those binds, to get out of that confinement, and learn what God says about all these different subjects. And this morning is talking about joy. You say, Pastor, I'm not happy. If you say you're not happy, you choose not to be happy. This will be good. If you're bored, people say, well, I'm bored. If you're bored, you choose to be bored. I don't know how a child of God can be bored with all the things God says in the Bible. Get yourself a job, get a second job, read the Bible, memorize the Bible, get married, have children, go soul winning, follow up your conference, come to church, help out in the church, clean at the church. You'll never be bored. Amen. You're bored because you're selfish. You want somebody to tickle you and make you laugh. You want to see some, you want to hear some comedian to make you laugh. That's why you're bored. That's why people go to ball games and sporting events and concerts. I'm just telling you, people are bored today because they're not right with God. But this morning, I'm talking about having joy. You don't have joy in your life. Listen to me good. I'm trying to help you. If you listen and pay attention, I want to tell you this morning, you can have joy for the rest of your life this morning. If you pay attention, you can decide to have joy. So I wish I was happy. I wish I could have joy. I wish I could smile and laugh and sing. I wish I was like that pastor. I got news for you. You can. You're the one that's in the way. I'm just telling you. You're the one that's in the way. God, the Bible says, is my exceeding joy in Psalm 43. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Joy unspeakable. You can have joy right now. You have it. It's available to you. It's inside of you. Hey, are you saved? Are you a child of God? If you are, Jesus is inside of you right now. Well, Jesus is God unspeakable joy. He's inside of you. He's available for you right now. You have just to let go and let him have his way with you. Take your Bible, please, turn to Nehemiah chapter number 8. Years ago, I preached a sermon on joy. I don't know what I talked about, how I what I mentioned. Be honest with you, I didn't even look at my notes, didn't pull it up at all. But I'm sure I use this passage in that sermon I preached maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago. Nehemiah, chapter number 8. Nehemiah, chapter number 8. Starting in verse number 8. I mean, you ought to go home and read from verse number 1 all the way through. I mean, it's a powerful chapter about having church. Amen. Verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly. That's what we're doing this morning. We're reading distinctly. If you have a third, fourth grade education, you can understand just about everything I'm saying this morning. Amen. And gave the sense. And that's what we're doing. I'm preaching a sermon, giving illustrations, explaining, giving you the understanding, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Hopefully, by the time you walk out of this building this morning, you'll understand something about the joy of God. Hopefully, when you get done listening for the next 20, 30 minutes, when you walk out of here, you'll know that you have the joy of God available to you that you think is unattainable. It's out of your grasp, out of your reach, that you can't have because fill in the blank. I'm telling you, it's available right now. Look at the next verse. Oh, I'm sorry, keep reading first. Verse number 9, yes. And Nehemiah, which is a Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. Now, that's very interesting. Because the first thing they were doing is they were crying and weeping. They were mournful. And that's what happens when you read the Bible. You find out you're a sinner on your way to hell. You don't just take Jesus as another option. You don't just take Jesus as if you're going from a third speed to a fourth speed or five speed. You don't just add Jesus, one of your Hindu gods. You don't add Jesus as something, well, I'll try this week and see how it works out. No, they found out they were sinners going to burn in hell forever with no hope and no escape. They were sinners deserving the wrath of Almighty God, and that's why they were mourning and weeping, the Bible says. And he says, they say, hey, you know what we want? We want everybody to make us laugh today. We want everybody to tickle us, as I said earlier. Give me a, hey, what's your latest joke? And I'm not against jokes. I like laughing, cutting up, all right? And I know I go overboard sometimes, but I'd rather go overboard having a great time instead of the way some people, most people are today. Huh? Look what it says. He said, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. That's why, I'm going to tell you something. They don't want to hear preaching of the King James Bible, man. They hate preaching today. Americans hate preaching. They want to make me happy, Pastor. Make me happy. Make me happy. Don't give me the truth. Don't tell me what's necessary. Just make me happy. Well, in order to have joy, you must have the truth that's going to hurt first. Verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what it says. I mean, God talks about hearing your prayers, praying with joy. You say, why don't I get my prayers answered? You think like it's such a chore when you go before God. You think it's a drudgery. You think it's boring. You think, oh, I don't know if God's listening to me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if my prayers weren't getting answered. You know why? Because joy is missing in your life. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strong language, ladies and gentlemen. Verse number 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. Mirth is happiness, singing, dancing, having a great time, having a party, having a festival. That's what mirth is, okay? To make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. I promise you, according to the word of God, if you understand what I'm saying and believe what I'm saying from the scripture this morning, you will have joy unspeakable that nobody can put out. Nobody can stop. I don't care what your circumstances are in life. If you're willing to believe what God said. My Bible says in Psalm 105, he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. My Bible says in Isaiah 12, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Matthew 13, 20 says, he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Immediately, that's what it means. You remember when you got saved? Huh? You remember you were a sinner on your way to hell and then you asked Jesus to save you? Remember the joy that flooded your soul? You remember how happy you were? You remember how glad you were? You can have that joy right now. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation right now. Too many people lose their joy because they lose it. Amen. Don't blame somebody else that killed your joy. Oh no. You individually will be responsible for losing your own joy. It's available to everybody. I'm not going to let some miserable person rule my life. That ain't going to happen. I could live in the rest of my life in a jail cell, but I'm not going to let anybody ruin my life. I can sing in a jail cell. I can pray in a jail cell. I can preach in a jail cell. I can sleep in a jail cell. We're just not content with what God's given us. Why should you have more if you're not content with what God's already given you? When you're miserable, listen to me, most people are miserable today. My Bible says in Luke chapter number 8, verse 13, they received the word with joy. When you got saved, you received it with joy. Yeah, I want to get saved. I want to do that. Matthew 13, 44, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Man, remember when you bought that house or that car or that whatever object it was, you saw something on sale and you rushed. You said, man, I hope I get there first. I want that. You know, you ever go on Black Fridays after Thanksgiving? Do you want to admit your sin now? Huh? I'm going with my wife. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm her bodyguard there, you know. I haven't gone about 5+ years. I don't know, but I'm just saying, you know, I want to get that first one. I want to get the only one before they're all sold out. You want to get there, right? Well, that's like salvation. You sold everything else to buy that field that had the treasure in it. And you had lots of joy. I can't believe I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Well, I have Jesus. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of people being persecuted, they were afflicted, maybe health-wise, persecution, who knows what, but along with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Affliction has nothing to do with joy. No, you decide whether you have joy even with affliction. Trials have nothing to do with joy. It's going to be good. Heartaches have nothing to do with joy. You decide that I can't be happy because some things are going on in my life. You decide I can't be happy. You decide I can't sing. You decide I can't have joy. You're the one that's going to give yourself joy or you're going to be miserable. You're going to blame your wife for the rest of your life. You're going to blame your husband for the rest of your life. You're going to blame your children for the rest of your life. You're going to blame your parents for the rest of your life. You're going to blame Hillary for the rest of your life. You're going to blame Obama and Trump and whoever the governor is, Cuomo and whoever the mayor is. You're going to blame everybody else for being miserable when you're the one that's responsible. Psalm 51 verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Remember the day you got saved? The day you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? The day you humbled your heart and asked God for mercy to save you? The day you realize you're one breath from hell and that only Jesus Christ, God Almighty, could save your soul from hell. Remember the day you realize Jesus died in your place and took your punishment of an eternity in hell for your sins. He took your place. He was your propitiation. He was your substitute. He was your scapegoat. He willingly offered you salvation as the only fire escape out of the torments of hell. Joy comes as a result of a decision and then an action that produces joy. Listen to me good. Joy comes as a result of a decision and then an action that produces joy. Happiness comes as a result of being happy with happenstances. Being happy or glad does not necessarily mean that you have joy. Just because a person laughs at times does not mean they have joy. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Hey, two of the funniest comedians I've ever heard in my life committed suicide. Roger Dangerfield and who's the last one that about 3, 4, 5 years ago? Who? Robin Williams. I mean, two of the funniest guys you'll ever hear in your life. They made people laugh. They laughed, but they didn't have joy. You ought to hear the interview. Roger Dangerfield says, I'm one of the most miserable men on planet Earth. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. He can make other people laugh. You know what? That proves the word of God. God says in Proverbs chapter number 14, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Ecclesiastes 2, verse number 2, the wisest man that ever lived said, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? You see, you get happy because of things, events, and people. Things, events, and people can make you happy just like they can make you sad. Godly joy, on the other hand, never changes. God never changes. Therefore, godly joy never changes. It is always joy. You may be sad because of people, things, and events, but you have joy available all the time as a child of God. You may weep at night, but joy cometh in the morning, the Bible says. You may weep, but joy is still present for a Bible believer. Joy is one of the many attributes that the Lord Jesus is always with you. He gives you. Joy is always with you, the Bible teaches. Jesus said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, the joy that he brings will never leave you nor forsake you. You forsook it. Today's society knows nothing about godly joy. Even God's people do not know the joy that is available to them. God's people want to be happy but not have joy. They want pleasure of things of the earth and of the world, but not godly joy. Most of God's people have no idea what joy is. You ought to picture yourself in a courtroom. Not a courtroom in Troy or in Albany or in Washington, D.C. in the federal court. You ought to picture your courtroom at the bar of heaven. And the judge of the universe sits to judge. And you stand before him. And God will never let sin into heaven. God will never let sin go unpunished. Never. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. Sin will never go unpunished. Never. You can sweep it under the rug all you want. It's going to come to light. Your crime, your sin must be paid for. Can you imagine standing at the bar of heaven and you plead for mercy? God, I don't want to go to hell. Please save my soul. Please. And God says, no. No. Sin must be paid for. And he raised the gavel. It's bound to come down the bench. And it's before it comes down, Jesus walks in. And Jesus stands by your side. And Jesus takes your place. And Jesus pays the price. And Jesus pays your punishment of your sin. If you don't have joy for that, man, there's something wrong with you. If you can't rejoice about that, there's something wrong. I don't care if nothing else goes right in your life. There's something wrong with you. You purposely refuse to believe what God says in the Word of God. That joy is available to everybody. You saw that mother or grandmother was, I don't know, she was pardoned this week, last week by President Trump. In there for life in prison, whatever. She'd been in there for 20 years or I don't know how many years. You think she was sad when she got out? Did you see the interview? Did you see her laughing and smiling and singing and hugging her family? Here we are, supposed to be saved, walking around like we're a bunch of grumps. Walking around complaining all the time. Yes, Jesus saved me from hell. You know how bad it is. Yeah, Jesus saved me. I'm so bad. Jesus saved me from burning in hell. Somebody ought to tell your face that you're saved. We're so easily offended. We're so easily hurt. We're so easily bitter and angry all the time. Why? For what reason? My joy doesn't depend who's in the White House or the governor's mansion. You can have joy even if you're alone by yourself. You can have joy in complete solitude. You can have joy with no noise, no TV, no radio, no internet, no fake book, no Twitter, no anything. If you lose your job, you can still have joy. If you lose your health, you can still have joy. Ask Job. If you lose your health benefits, if you lose your retirement, if you lose your life savings, if you lose everything that you've worked for, you can still have joy, ladies and gentlemen. If nothing ever works out well in your life, you can have joy. If you want to be married and you're not, you can still have joy. If you want to have children, you cannot, you can still have joy. If your children disappoint you and break your heart, you can still have joy. See, joy doesn't depend on circumstances or happenstances. Joy depends on whether you love Jesus or not. Amen. Doesn't matter who's in the White House, as I said. Doesn't matter who's in the governor's mansion. Doesn't matter who's the mayor of Troy, the Troilet. No matter who the mayor or the councilman is, no matter how high the taxes go, no matter how much crime there is in a neighborhood, no matter what neighborhood you live in, you can have joy today, ladies and gentlemen. No matter how difficult your boss may be, no matter how hard your job is, no matter how hard schoolwork is, no matter if your teacher does not like you, even if there's a riot that breaks out, even if there's a war that breaks out, you can have joy. You may not be happy about a war, the crime, or the taxes, but you can have joy in your heart because you have Jesus. Did you ever go to an airport? You know, I was in the airport, came back from Arizona, went to Arizona. I was thinking about coming back, and I finally did, but, you know, especially when you're carrying, you got to tell him, you know, that you're carrying, then he goes underneath, you know. And now it's like a big to-do, you know. Oh, we got to get the TSA here, and then we got to get the sheriffs here, and you got to watch everything. You got to put it in the box. You got to watch and seal it and blah, 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 blah. And so we did that in Albany, flew out to Arizona, and on the way back, you know, I did the exact same thing. And usually in Arizona, they give me no problem, but this time in Arizona, I don't know what the deal was. Well, I guess they had some shootings in Arizona the last couple of weeks, so that could be it. So, you know, I told them the same thing I told them in New York over here, you know, showed them my permit and stuff like that, and showed them the case I was in. And the guy came, I guess it was TSA, took the bag, and I followed him to a room. He literally took everything out of my room, out of my bag, everything. I'm not exaggerating. I started taking video because the door was open, you know. And I shouldn't have stopped, but because he turned around and went like this because he pulled out a sign, a metal sign I bought in Arizona. I bought two signs. One says, there's a big picture of a gun pointing at you. It's about maybe 6x12. And it says, there's nothing in this house worth losing your life for. And I forget. And then said, the other one says something like, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again. You know? They're both at my house out right now. If you saw him, did you see him yesterday by the window? No? But so he turns around, he picks up the sign, looks at me, and he goes like this. Thumbs up. At least I got a thumbs up in Arizona, you know? Yeah. But it doesn't matter if I'm in New York or Arizona, I can have joy. Doesn't matter what kind of laws they pass. Doesn't matter how difficult they make my life. I may not be happy about it, but I can still have joy. If you love God, you will not rejoice over evil and wicked things, but you can still have joy because of Jesus Christ and salvation. If you love God, you will not rejoice over iniquity and evil, as 1 Corinthians 13 says. But you can have joy through salvation. You will not have joy about evil and sinful things and circumstances, but if you have Jesus, your Savior, you can have peace and joy in your heart that the world knows nothing about. I'm not happy. I'm bored. Do you ever hear people online saying, I'm not happy, or I'm bored? Why don't you go out and do something for God? Why don't you go soul winning? Why don't you start reading your Bible? Why don't you memorize your Bible? Why don't you memorize scriptures? Amen? Why don't you come to church and help clean the church building? Why don't you do something? Amen? Why don't you get a second job? I've noticed that the murmurers do not have joy. I've noticed that complainers are the ones that don't have joy. I notice that it's the lazy bums that do not have joy. Amen. I've noticed that it's the unfaithful ones to God, to church house, to giving and tithing and soul winning that don't have joy. Amen. It's not a coincidence. Amen. God didn't look down from heaven and say, you have joy and you don't have joy. Amen. It's not a Calvinistic God where he says, you're going to be happy and you're not going to be happy. Amen. You're going to have lots of joy and you're not going to have joy. No, it's not how it works in the Bible. You decide to have salvation or not. You decide to reject Jesus Christ or not. And you decide to have joy or not. You're the ones responsible. You say, I've been through a lot of heartache in my life. Well, let's have a meeting. Let's line them up and see how much heartache you've had. Let's just compare our heartaches, shall we? Okay. I've noticed that those who do not pray consistently do not have joy. I've noticed that those who do not go soul winning do not have joy. I've noticed that folks who don't faithfully come to church do not have joy. I've noticed that people who do not give have little to no joy. The acronym JOY, you remember this for the rest of your life, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You do that and you'll take care of everything else. Say, well, you got to take care of yourself first. No, you take care of God's business first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You're trying to take care of yourself. You want to be happy. You want to have enough money. You want to have enough of this. You want to have enough food. You want to have enough clothes. You want to have this job. No. You obey God, and God will give you a job. You obey God, God will give you food. You obey God, God will give you what you need. But you put yourself first because you heard the world's philosophy. You got to take care of yourself first. No, Jesus first. Jesus first. The reason you're miserable is because you're putting yourself first. You're your own God. You want everybody to make you happy. If you don't have people making you happy and pleasing you and satisfying you, you're miserable. You're moody. You're up and down. My Bible teaches that joy, God's joy is constant. We're the ones that are up and down. My God's never changed, the Bible says. The Word of God never changes. You get mad at your husband, you get mad at your wife, because I'm telling you, most times you're the one that's moody. They didn't do what you wanted to do. They weren't pleasing to you. Man, if you had joy, you'd go through it all, amen? Amen. Even if you didn't agree, even if it was disagreeable, even if it wasn't good or kind, you still have joy, amen? But you stomp around like a little boy and throw things and break things and pout like a little baby. Yeah, okay. It tells you how much you're reading your Bible, how much time you're spending in prayer. It tells me how much time you're spending in the church house. It's just a reflection of a lack of joy because you didn't get your way on the playground when somebody took your toy. Jesus first. It's available at salvation. Others second. They're all around you. And yourself last. Focus on yourself last. You can have joy while others hate you. Oh, yes, you can. You can have joy while others criticize you. You can have joy while others mock you, while others attack you, while others conspire against you. You may not be happy about that. You may be glad about it, but you can have joy. You know what makes people miserable? You singing and smiling and laughing while they're trying to make you miserable. You go do that at work. I mean, I tell you, that really ticked them off. They try to ruin, you ain't ruined my day. You try to ruin my day, I'm telling you, it's coming back 10 times, man. You want to be sarcasm? You want to be sarcastic? We're the house of sarcasm up here, man. God forbid you ever come to our house for lunch or something like that, man. If you're thin skinned, you don't want us to come to my house or stay around for lunch or dinner. But that's what people are today. You're so thin skinned. They can dish it, but they can't take it, you know? So while others malign you and conspire against you, you can still sing and have joy. While the majority line up against you, you can still have joy. While they lie against you and falsely accuse you. Do you know how many things I've been accused of? Sacrificing goats and animals and all kind of killing kids and molesting kids and sleeping. You know, my wife's the only woman I've ever slept with. I have roasted goats. I have got to say that, amen. Roasted sheep and goats for Greek Easter, amen. Well, on the spit, amen. And so we have done that. But I've killed rabbits and I've killed a lot of other animals, amen. But we never sacrificed them. But we were accused of that, sacrificing animals, you know, and or sacrificing like having some kind of, I don't know, witch coven or whatever they call it, you know. What are you going to do? How are you going to stop? If 7 billion people on planet Earth want to lie about you, what are you going to do? It's going to ruin your day? It ain't going to ruin my day, man. My God and I make a majority. Amen. Noah had that kind of thinking. That's all I need is God. Can you imagine being in Noah's day? You're the only one building that ark with your three boys. Can you imagine being the only one? The drunkards, you're the favorite song of the drunkards at Friday and Saturday night at the bars and the grills. And for 100 years, they're singing about you, laughing at you, mocking at you. They weren't laughing and mocking when the rains came. While others forsake you, you can still have joy. While others denigrate you, you can have joy. While others purposely try to make your life difficult, you can have joy. Amen. I don't care if you live in Troy, New York, you can have joy. I don't care if you live in the projects, you can have joy. I don't care if you live in the ghettos, third world country, government housing. I don't care if you're sick, if you're hurt yourself, you've been in an accident, you can have joy. I don't care if you're laying in a hospital bed. I don't care if you're handicapped or paralyzed, you can have joy. While others despise you, others laugh at you, others taunt you, while others mock you, while the devil tries to destroy you, you can still have joy, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, why don't you laugh at the devil once in a while? Why don't you just laugh at him? Say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm on my way to heaven. You're going to burn to hell. Why are you letting him get your goat? Why are you letting the world and the devil trying to ruin your life and succeeding at ruining your life? Get out of that box that you're in. Get out of that preformed thinking that you've been taught that's against Scripture. Reckon your thinking, reckon your mind to the Word of God. That means line it up with what God says. Believe God and you shall prosper. Amen. Your husband leaves you, you can still have joy. If your wife leaves you, you can still have joy. If your mother-in-law leaves you, you'll be forever happy. If your children forsake you, you can still have joy. If your parents disown you, you can still have joy. Bible joy comes from salvation. It comes from Jesus Christ himself. And to continue that, it comes from loving Jesus. To continue that, it flows from duty. Doing something and seeing the results of doing something that is right brings joy. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. In Luke, the 70 came back to Jesus with joy, the Bible says, after they went soul winning. So the soul winner has joy. God has joy. There's rejoicing in heaven, except for people sitting in the pews in Baptist churches that don't do anything for God. Hey, have you ever noticed how angry and upset someone gets when you ask them about eternity or Bible truth? Do you ever ask them a question? Oh, they seem to be very happy and easy go, get along with, you know, always laughing and having a great time until you ask them a very, very important question. Like, where are you going to go when you die? Well, I think that's a very personal question. Well, you see how they sober up right away? They say, well, I don't think that's any of your business. You see how their whole face is configured and changes? They're happy. They're happy over things, people, and circumstances. But they don't have godly joy. The Bible says you ought to have an answer ready all the time if somebody asks you for the joy of the hope that's inside you, the hope that's inside of you. And if I don't know the answer, I want to know what God says in the Word of God. I'm not going to say that's a very personal question. I want to know. If there's some subject or some topic that I don't know about and somebody asks me a question, I say, I don't know. I want to know. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about the Word of God. I'm not going to close somebody off and say, I don't want to know. Why? It's too convicting, isn't it? When you don't have godly joy, it's conviction that sets in. You want somebody to tickle you and make you happy. You want some drunken comedian, some God-cussing, cursing, swearing, vowel language, a God-dishonoring man or faggot or pervert making you laugh. They don't have Bible joy. They don't have godly joy. They just want to be happy without God. They want to be happy without salvation. Their lack of godly joy is revealed by the reaction they have when someone asks them a pinpointed question about eternity or Bible truths. See, ladies and gentlemen, life reveals whether you have godly joy or lack of godly joy. Amen. You can only put a facade up for just so long. You can be a hypocrite for just so long. You can put a fake front up for just so long. You know what I'm talking about. You know somebody that's miserable, all of a sudden somebody comes around, and they smile, hi, how are you? Hey, you know what the best way to raise hypocrites, to train hypocrites? Come to church, mom and dad argue all the way to church house, while the kids are in the back seat listening to you arguing at each other, yelling at each other, and then as soon as you walk in the house, just say, hey, how you doing, brother so-and-so? Hey, how you doing, sister? And your kids are watching you. Oh, I can be a hypocrite. I can do that in the car and then do that when I'm at church house. You wonder why so many church people grow up to be miserable people. Hey, do you have joy all the time? And heartaches and burdens and trials? Or are you happy because of people, places, and things and circumstances in life? Are you going from happiness to happiness, or do you have constant joy that will never leave you? Why don't you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? I mean, you ought to read it at least once every 3 to 6 months. I mean, these martyrs went to the stake burning alive and singing and preaching while they were being burned alive. And you complain about the most stupidest things. They had the joy of Jesus Christ while you just want to be happy. We're a miserable bunch of people. Americans are a bunch of miserable people, man. They really are. You know what Paul said this week? I was in Arizona. He said, people in Arizona are a lot friendlier than people in New York. Well, we already know that, amen. We already know that. Did you ever go down south or somewhere in a country road, people just wave when you pass them in the pickup truck? You go ahead next time, just walk down the street and say, hey, how you doing, to a total stranger. They'll look at you. And while they pass you, they're going to turn around and keep looking at you, make sure that you're going to be staying away from them. It's okay. I'd rather have joy and be by myself than happy with thousands of people around me. I'd rather have joy that'll never leave me instead of happiness that depends. Look, I'm happy. I laugh. I have a great time. But I'd rather have joy than happiness, because happiness depends on who you're around, what's going on, events and circumstances of life. And there's nothing wrong with some of that. But that goes up and down. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. God never changes, the Bible says. I want joy that'll never leave me. I want joy that I'll have always have a song in my heart. The darkest day of my life or the happiest day of my life. A storm comes up. I mean, people are just miserable. When it rains, like it's not supposed to rain. It's raining. It's raining again. It's rained 3 days in a row. You know what? You're miserable, man. Oh, we got the snow coming. I can't believe how much snow we got. Well, move to Arizona. What do you expect in the Northeast? You're mad at God. You're mad at yourself. You're mad at life because you don't have joy. You got to go shovel that, and you got to salt it, and you got to rake the leaves, and you know, you're just miserable. Nothing will make you joyful except yourself. Except yourself. Loving Jesus Christ and obeying him will bring joy. Joy is a product of obeying Jesus Christ and seeing the fruition of your work. That's joy. And God gives you joy. It's available. Do you have joy? My Bible says he's exceeding joy, my exceeding joy. My Bible says that I can have joy unspeakable that you can't even explain. Can't explain it. Unspeakable. So how can you be so happy and so singing all the time and joyful all the time when such and such is going on? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you asked him to be your Savior? Did he take your place at the bar in heaven? When you are one breath from hell and he stood in your place and was the propitiation for your sins and he was your atonement, how can you not be joyful for that? Amen. Joy unspeakable. You can have it today. And you can have it forever on earth. No matter what the circumstances are, you can have it today. I hope this was distinct enough. I hope I gave the sense enough. I hope somebody understood the reading of the Word of God today by the time we're done now. That when you leave out of this place, it'll be your choice to be joyful or miserable. Your choice. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for salvation. Lord, I can't believe I'm saved today. I just can't get over it. I want to thank you, dear God, for breaking my heart. Thank you, dear God, for this church. Thank you for these dear folks. Thank you for a good group of people, Lord, that love you, love the Word of God, and love the preaching. Please bless them, be good to them, protect them. Dear God, please, I pray if anybody in this room is not saved, may today be their day of salvation. May they trust you to save their soul from hell. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not been baptized in a Baptist church, that today they will get baptized. Whatever else the need is, dear God, maybe there's a hindrance, a stumbling block in our lives why we're just not joyful. It's a decision that we make. We choose not to be joyful. Lord, help us. Help us to surrender it all during the invitation. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.